Hello, this is Michael Nofenson with Information Security Media Group. I'm speaking today with David Munroe. He is the Chief Information Security Officer for the National Hockey League. Morning, David. How are you?
Morning. I'm doing well. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much for making the time. So off the top, I want to get a sense of really what are some of the most significant or unique challenges that an organization like the National Hockey League faces as compared to a more conventional enterprise? What's unique or different about bringing security to the NHL?
Well, I think first we have a large brand, a well-known brand, a brand that can be tarnished very easily by any sort of situation or incident. And it's a brand that's been around for a long time, over 100 years, longer than most other brands you can think of. So the number one thing is really protecting the shield, protecting the brand, making sure that our fans feel safe, our employees feel safe, and that we're following best practices and we're doing everything we possibly can to cover all our bases, because the threats are endless. And we have a wide variety of business operations, everything from game operations, arena operations, cloud, broadcast, obviously office technologies as well, and all the staff that run the game and run the league. So we really deal with a threat model and a threat landscape that's a lot more diverse than your average company.
I wanted to get a sense too with the model. So there's obviously there's a central office at the NHL, and you have 32 individual franchises. What's the relationship? To what extent are you involved with security at the franchise level, or how do you partner to make sure that not only is the league protected, but the individual franchises are as well?
Well, we work closely with the teams. At this point, the teams and the ownership of the teams really focus on their needs for their business. Our needs are a little different than some other businesses. Obviously, we have some similarities, but when you look at the owners of teams, sometimes they're broad, diverse companies that have a lot of different operations, from food to entertainment to media to you name it. We have a little bit of a different landscape, but we do have 32 arenas. Yes, we've got offices international in terms of Canada and the U.S. and potentially in other spots coming up. So we have to deal with, I think, like I said, a broad landscape of threats. What's interesting is that you really need a number of different technologies to handle the different kinds of business operations. So cloud is different from on-premise, and physical is different from inter-office. And to be able to have the right solution for that need is key.
So let's get into some of those, maybe starting with the physical piece, because certainly compared to other enterprises, the physical is a bit different with all the arenas and all the equipment that's in the arenas. So yeah, what are some of the most pronounced physical security challenges you face? And then to what extent do they align with some of the digital security challenges you also deal with?
Well, they cross over pretty closely. I think one of the biggest physical challenges we face is it's a public event, right? There's access to infrastructure that may not exist in other organizations. So you really have to treat it different than something that you could protect and wall off in an office. You've got stuff that's out exposed and needs a different kind of approach, a different security layer than you'd have in a typical organization. So the number one thing, I think, is making sure that the game happens, right? That's our focus. The game happens. It's safe. It's successful. People enjoy it. And in order to do that, we really want to make sure that the things that bring the game to the people are as safe and secure as possible. So we really try and make sure, especially for those publicly exposed or more at-risk assets, that we put a higher level of security on it, a higher level of monitoring, and really approach it from a different perspective than things that may be entirely under our control, because the arena is not entirely under our control. We share it. There's a wide variety of people coming and going, and we have to take a different perspective with that protection.
Makes sense. And what are some of the other, certainly the arenas, what are some of the other assets that face the greatest degree of risk, and why so?
Well, we've got a lot of tentpole events, meaning events that happen outside of the normal games. So Winter Classic and Stadium Series, the Four Nations. So that's a very challenging situation in terms of going to a new location, not knowing what the landscape looks like, what you have to do to protect people there, what kind of IT resources will be available. Can you apply the same level of protections and layers of defense that you can in a well-known situation? So the dynamic nature of those events really presents a lot of challenges.
I want to talk a little bit. I know you mentioned cloud computing earlier, and I realize with streaming and whatnot that there's increased use of the cloud, and I wanted to get a sense really what are some of the cybersecurity implications of increased use of cloud in the context of the NHL? What are the core differences between trying to secure, whether it's cloud streaming or other cloud functions versus on-premise?
Sure. I think that our challenge is actually very similar to a lot of other organizations in that we're constantly, especially with cloud, because cloud is meant to be easy to use, right? It's meant to be something where you don't have to worry about the infrastructure. You abstract all your typical IT needs away. And you can do something very quickly. Now, that's good and bad. It's good if it's approved or sanctioned. It's not so good if someone's coloring outside the lines. So we have to really balance the usability versus security with cloud versus other environments, because cloud is meant to be fast, usable, and scalable. And if you're trying to apply the same kind of security to the cloud that you're applying to traditional IT workloads, you're going to have a bad time. You really have to look at it in terms of the needs of the users, the needs of the developers, and the needs of the infrastructure and security people together. Start at the beginning when building a plan or building a cloud infrastructure, and make sure that the security tooling you have is as flexible.
What do you feel, in the context of the NHL, what do you feel are some of the primary use cases where the cloud is most appropriate from a security perspective, and then what are some of the use cases where you feel on-premise is better from a security standpoint?
Well, I think that from a cloud perspective, when you're, as I mentioned, we have to scale, right? That's the number one thing that we see in the cloud is in terms of broadcast or game delivery. We need to scale quickly because the audience might shift dynamically. But in terms of on-premise, we have the ability to run hardware that's much too expensive to run in the cloud, right? And speaking of, I'll say it, AI, it actually works well for us that we have data centers, because we can do some of the work that would be very expensive in the cloud on-premise. And it allows us to do more. It allows us to do things that may not be available in the cloud yet. But more importantly, it allows us to keep our data where we have control over it. One of the challenges with the cloud, and this goes into data governance, which is a huge focus for us, one of the challenges with the cloud is who has access to that data, not only from the cloud provider, are you exposing it to the public? You really have to treat data differently when it's not secured in your own environment.
So I do want to double click on the data governance piece. Mm-hmm. And I know you had referenced when giving the keynote today, the fact that there's just so much, this dramatically increased interest in data analytics, whether it's from fans, whether it's from franchises. And yeah, what are some of the challenges that arise from a governance standpoint? And what's been your approach to trying to mitigate those, given the proliferation of data?
It is proliferating, and it's crazy to try and keep up with it, especially with all the different cloud services that are available and all the AI services that people want to use. I think the number one thing is knowing where your data sits, right? It starts there. We know data is here. We know data is in this cloud service. We know data is on people's laptops. We know data is being sent to this partner. So understanding where your data is the first step that you have to start with. And it's very similar to the critical security controls and, number one, what do you have? What's in your network? What's in your environment? Same thing with data. And then once you know where the data is, you have to think about what is that data, right? And we've got all kinds of different data, from employee data to fan data to player data, and where is that stored? How is it protected? So the second thing that's very important is to really ask what your data is, and that helps you with classification. That helps you with the data governance and the hygiene, knowing what the data is and should it be living there or not. And then the third thing, which is incredibly important, especially as you start talking about zero trust and least privileges, who's using that data? Who has access to that data? How are you delivering that data? What method? Is that buttoned up? Is that secured? Do you have a good audit trail? Do you have good authorization? Do you have good knowledge about where that data is going? Because let's face it, if we talk about the worst case scenario is a breach, the first question that gets asked is, well, what did they get, right? What was that data? How much of it? Where did it go? Who got it? Why did they get it, right? So knowing, being able to answer, at least, when the inevitability happens, the inevitability of a breach, you have to have those answers. And you have to say, well, this was this kind of data, this was this sensitivity, this was who's using it. But even aside from security, to enable the business, to enable new technologies, whether it's AI or some analytics tooling, you really need to know the kind of data. You have to make sure it's appropriate and that you're not going to inadvertently do something with data you didn't even realize you had.
I know there's been talk as well in terms of both the decline of the perimeter as well as zero trust architecture to security. How have you thought about each in the context of the NHL?
It's changed dramatically for us because we did take a traditional approach in the past of here's our border, and then we've got our internal network, and our internal network is private, and no one should be on it. Of course, over the past 10 to 15 years, that philosophy has changed, and we've changed with it to say, you know what, we're going to take a least privilege approach and realize that the borders are breaking down, realize that data is going to fly into all different places now, cloud services, SaaS services, cloud infrastructure. And we really have to start focusing on where that data itself, protecting, going to the source, protecting the data. So we have been very focused on not only having our traditional controls, but adding on to those traditional controls with more data governance, data protection type tooling.
Finally here, I want to get a sense, and you brought it up earlier, artificial intelligence. I know at this point we're about 2.5 years out since the general availability of ChatGPT and the subsequent Gen AI craze. And want to get a sense really of what are the most significant increases in threat activity you've seen driven by AI, and what is the rise of generative AI and agentic AI allowed you to do from a defensive standpoint?
I think from a defensive standpoint, it's really allowed us to be more efficient and respond quickly to the threats. Really, it's about sifting through massive amounts of data. You know, in our business, we've got telemetry and knowledge coming from endless systems. You know, the endpoints themselves, the servers, the network, the users, the cloud. Like, there is an endless amount of data to analyze, right? And having someone to do that, having an individual or a team to do that, is very expensive, right? The human cost of having a big team and everything is expensive. So I think from a defensive perspective, applying these tools towards the information we have coming in allows us to not only catch things we may not have seen before, but be much more efficient and quick to respond. In terms of, you know, protecting the usage of AI, I think the number one thing you have to face is educating people as to the appropriate use of AI. I'm a big fan of education, and I think that cybersecurity really starts with education. And if we educate well enough, a lot of those security controls we put in place aren't as needed because people will be aware of the risks and the threats and know how to respond to them. So when it comes to AI usage, the primary focus, I think, is letting users know what's safe to use, what information is safe to put in there, how should they be thinking about it when they use it. They, you know, have to evaluate the results of AI and what AI is, telling them, and then how do they integrate that into their workflow and what are they doing with that information. So in terms of users and protecting the use of AI, you definitely need guardrails, right? There are certain AI tools that people just should not be using in a corporate environment because of many reasons, because of the potential exploits, because of the data leakage and data loss prevention, or because the organization that's running those models is, you know, questionable in terms of what they're going to do with that data. But also, I think you need to say, here's for the sanctioned and approved uses, you know, here's the way in which you should use it. Here is the criteria that you should apply to your operations of that tool.
Absolutely. David, thank you so much for walking me through all this. Appreciate the time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We've been speaking with David Monroe, CISO for the National Hockey League. For Information Security Media Group, this is Michael Novins.